The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. In a world where the line between right and wrong has become increasingly blurred, it is of utmost importance that believers are able to stand firmly on the Word of God. Stay tuned as Pastor Ben Lawson from Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills in Aberdeen, North Carolina, brings us another teaching from the Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, on The Cutting Edge.
Today's study is entitled Church Order for Women and Communion. How appropriate is that today? I mean, the communion part. The women part, what we're going to talk about today is a lot of cultural stuff that was going on in Paul's day. And so he has all these verses, and I'll explain them to you. But then at the very end of all this explanation about covering of the hair and all the rest, he says, hey, this is just a suggestion. if it bugs anybody, forget about it. I'm like, Paul, why'd you even put it in there? Well, so we could study it. So we could see what's going on during that time in the New Testament, in the New Testament church. And so, again, chapter 11, church order, women and communion. And after we speak about the women very quickly and what they say there about head covering, then we will speak about the main issue, which I believe is a great major. You remember, I don't know if you guys know this, but Chuck Smith, he started Calvary's years and years ago, and he's passed, he's with the Lord now, but he used to say, gang, listen, major on the majors, minor on the minors. Amen? You get that, right? Major on the majors, minor on the minors. And so this whole head covering thing we're going to look at, minors. But we're going to look at it because we go through the scriptures. You know, some might go, no, it's too controversial. No, we're going to go through the scriptures and we're going to teach like we should and just explore those things and be accurate with them. But then communion, don't you think that's a major? Amen? Big time major, yeah. So with that, if we could all stand and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, with your iPhones, your Bibles, whatever, iPads. Can you imagine someone, Spurgeon, saying that? Can you imagine that? Isn't that crazy? Well, let's read this chapter together, and then we'll make some comments, and then we'll do communion, and then we'll dismiss. 11 says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. I think with all my heart that that verse is misplaced. I believe that verse should be part, the very end of chapter 10. And I'll tell you why in a minute, instead of the first verse of chapter 11. Now I praise you, brother, that you remember, he's speaking to the people there at Corinth, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. Remember, he was there for 5 years. He started the church. He started all the traditional things that you're supposed to do in church, you know, for Christ's sake. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. But every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head, for that is one of the same as if her head were shaved. So, verse 6, for if a woman is not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it is shameful for a woman to be shorn or shaved, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, since he is the image of the glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. For the man is not from woman, but woman from man. Nor was man created for the woman, but woman for the man. For this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. We'll get to that in a bit. It's very interesting about these angels. Nevertheless, verse 11, neither is man independent of woman, nor woman independent of man in the Lord. Isn't that cool? Amen? It was amen? Yeah, that's way cool. Nevertheless, neither is man independent of woman. I read that. Verse 12, for as a woman came from man, even so man also comes from woman. Right, guys? Right, ladies? Yeah. But all things are from where? God. Amen for that. Thank you, Lord. Verse 13, judge among yourselves, is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Question mark. Does not even nature itself teach you guys, you long-haired hippies, that if a man has long hair, it's a dishonor to him? But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. But if anyone seems to be contentious, now here we go, 16, it's awesome. We have no such custom, nor do the churches of God. Why do you even say it then? Well, we're going to get to that in a minute. Now, here we go, verse 17. Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you have come not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part, I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. No. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. And one is hungry and another is drunk. Can you imagine? What? Explanation mark. Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. No way. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had been given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, the cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body, the blood of the Lord. Verse 28, but let a man or a woman examine himself or herself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak, sick among you, and many sleep or die. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. Be polite. Let the women and children go first. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home. Lest you come together for judgment, and the rest I will set in order when I come. Father, long chapter. But God, it is so relevant nowadays. God, and so Lord, I pray that each of us would listen to this, God. We wouldn't bring up barriers or walls, God, but we would study that we might show ourselves approved. And God, that you would change our hearts in any issue that you want. We are here because we want to hear from you. And so I pray in Jesus' name, God, that you would teach, not me, that your Holy Spirit would go forth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Wow. You know what? I have like 20 minutes to get through this. And then we do our communion. Can everyone say miracle? Thank you. In chapter 10 and 11, they were divided most logically. If they were, this verse would be at the end of each chapter 10. I said that before. Why is that? Because after ending his discussion of the Christian liberties, Paul simply says, if you want to know what to do, just follow me. Check me out. Just follow me as I follow Christ. Paul's is a statement I pray that we could make in our own lives, increasingly our own, in our own families, with our kids are confused, when our neighbors have questions, or newer Christians are wondering about what they should do with themselves. Folks, let me expound on this just for a second. Do you know the world, even Moore County, looking for answers? They're looking for answers. I even meet Christians that are looking for answers. At this stage, it's just like, well, where's the answer? Well, wait a minute. Isn't your church telling you what the answer? Aren't they teaching and reverently in this time and age? What's going on? Is there nothing? Is there any? No. No, we go through the sacraments. We go through this. We have a couple. And we just, I don't know. We have a lot of fun at church. You don't know what's, why are you worried? Why are you concerned of what's going on today? You know, with all the stuff going on. You know, people calling this that, and people calling the other another, and why should we just get so upset with what we call things? We Christians just look at people and go, I don't know about if it's terrorist or workplace violence or whatever it is. It's end times. Well, why do you say that? What do you mean end times? And then we'll be able to just tell them about end times. What's going on with end times? Why we're in the end times? Now we know. We can't pinpoint his return, but man, it is the season. When it's snowing, do you say, oh, it's summer, summertime. That's what many do in this country. It's summertime, the blizzard, you know, it's summer. Huh? No, it's winter. Folks, it's wintertime. Christ is on his way. We need to have some answers for people that need answers. And we need to be those kind of Christians that say, that are in our words so much and just, you know, much more than we come to church. In your word, much more than you come to church. You know, you need to be. And so, and there's all kinds of books and things out there. I'll let you know which ones are kind of weird and some, and the ones that are good. Right. Scriptural. That you can just know what's going on nowadays. And so then when people ask, you can give an answer. Isn't that what the Word of God says? Study and make yourself approved that when someone asks you about something, you can tell them about it. Instead of going, oh, I don't know. Well, aren't you a Christian?
Yeah.
Well, don't you know any answers? Well, ask the pastor. Somewhere in the Bible it says, godliness is next to cleanliness. So I take a bath every day. No! It never says that, by the way. Study your word that we might tell people when they question what's going on. Follow me as I follow Christ. So in view of verse 1, I'm so impressed with the work that the Lord did in Paul's life. Work that enabled him to say that. And most of that is because he studied his word. He so told that to the entire city. Do we do what I do and you'll do well? Can we say that? Saying, it's a challenge. Yes, it's a challenge. It's also an encouragement. Because let me tell you this, the Holy Spirit, if you put the fuel in your heart, in your mind, the Holy Spirit will take it and turn it into power. The Word of God is fuel. The Word of God is fuel. I'm just telling you, I'm on this. I'm just crazy about this. The Word of God is fuel. I know. I don't do Word of God for a couple of days. I'm scared to death of going to Florida for 10 days. For Christmas, I do it every year. My wonderful in-laws are down there. I can't wait to get down there. And the food. Anyway, I get down there, you know, and many times so glad that there's a Calvary there, a big one, but so many times I get off of the Word, and I get weak, and it's like, Holy Spirit said, come on, don't starve me. Give me something here, because then, guess what? You have power. It turns into power, just like gasoline, a spark, power. Now, I want to have a 454 in my engine. But you guys. But power. So we need to do that. It's an encouragement. So if you've been with us in chapter 7, Paul answers the Corinthian question about marriage. In chapters 8 through 9, he addressed his questions about liberty. We just got through with that, didn't we? All the liberty stuff that we went through. Now, here in chapter 11, he discusses church order with regard to women in the church, and then, of course, how appropriate communion. He'll do that in verses 17 through 24. Well, in verse 2, Paul commended the church, rather, in Corinth for the fact that they were observing and taking care of some ordinances that he had taught them to do. when he was with them 5 years earlier. See, he started a church. It was a church plant. And so he begins by saying, way to go, guys. You've been doing some of this stuff pretty good. Didn't last, though. After commending them, however, Paul, in verse 3, we read it, goes on to tell the Corinthians that some adjustments were very, very necessary in that church. I guess. Can you imagine us just throwing a drunken party for communion? I think they need some adjustments. Yeah, big time. As my granddaughter would say, they need time out, Poppy. Big time. Well, in verse 3, Paul sets God's progression of responsibility. You see, Paul says the place of a woman in the church is not a question of superiority or inferior, but is based upon humility and liberty. How do I know this? Well, the next verse there. Because it plays out like this. Jesus willingly, voluntarily, gladly submitted to the authority of the Father. I like that. Voluntarily? Gladly? Does this mean he was inferior to the Father? Of course not. We know that. There is no, number one's the Father, number two is the Son, number three is the Holy Spirit. No, they're all three in one. We know that. Matter of fact, Philippians 2 makes it very crystal clear. I was trying to bring this up the other day at the Bible study in the morning. By the way, I meant to have a Bible study every morning from 9 to 10. Awesome stuff. And so, but Philippians 2 makes it very, very clear. And he chose to humble himself. It's called the kenosis doctrine. You might want to check that out. The kenosis doctrine, which simply very quickly, let me say this, very quickly, it says this. But I think it's very important you understand this. I've had people tell me, you know what? No wonder God did what he did. Well, you know, he's God. Jesus did all that. Walking on water, you know, healing people, teaching. He was God. He was, you know, of course, if I was God, I could do stuff like that. No. Because here in Philippians 2, it tells us the kenosis doctrine says this. He emptied himself of all his godly powers in heaven before he came to earth. Really? Well, how did he do all that he did? Because he was completely, completely obedient to the Father, knowing what the Father wanted, and everything he did 100% in the Spirit. That encourages me. That means I can be better. If I just listen to the Father, the Word of God, listen to what my Father wants me to do in heaven, and then I'm completely walking in the Spirit every day, led by the Spirit, lived by the Spirit, I can do great things for God, for the Lord. Kenosis doctrine. So too, ladies, the woman who chooses to submit to the authority of her husband does so not out of inferior. Okay, you get it? Don't look at me. Just listen to the message. Does not out of inferior, being inferior, but of humility for the Lord. Let's do that again. Someone pronounce right now, inferiority. 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 Inferior. There you go. I've been studying last night. I said it every time. I don't get it. Okay. Now, we're going to say this one more time, okay? So too, ladies, this is important for you to know. The woman who chooses to submit to the authority of her husband does not do it because she's inferior, but in humility for her Lord. You guys get that, right? I should have wrote it like that. But you get that, right, girls? It's for your Lord, man. For the Lord. And look, I want to tell you the bottom line is, after being 33, 34, 58, whatever, years with that person, with that guy, with that knucklehead, you need to do it before the Lord. I mean, when you first marry him, oh, love, I'll do anything. I'll walk on hot coals. My wife, she walked on hot coals for me, man, when we first got married. It was just awesome. Nowadays, she does it for the Lord. You know, she's like, I love you, honey, but this is for the Lord, you know? Remember that. Because, hey, like Chuck said, good looking don't last, but good cooking do. You got to understand that all those butterflies go away. And many times, ladies, you just need to that knuckle. You go, what? You're going to do what? You know, just like, sometimes we just face out, don't we, guys? We just do something like foolish. And so you go, okay, Lord, this is for you. This is for you, God. What is Paul saying in verse 4? Well, to this day, Jewish rabbis teach that because Moses covered his face after he met with God on Mount Sinai, there in Exodus 34, guess what? The wearing of the hat began. The yarmulke. You guys know what that is. Amen? Yeah? Okay. And it's or a prayer shawl. In a sign of humility before the Lord. However, in reality, check this out. This is so funny. I think it's so funny. In 2 Corinthians 3, Paul says it was the real reason was to hide the fact that the reflection of God's glory was fading from Moses' face. He was embarrassed. He didn't want everybody to know. So the man took that thing and changed it into something else because he was so embarrassed that the glory of God was going away from his face. That's what the Bible says. That's what Paul, he explains it. I bet Moses says, shh, Paul, don't shout. Man, now it's out of the bag. And so they made a whole doctrine out of that with a yarmulke and a hat and everything. Caused Moses to cover his face. That's what the deal was. It's funny how man changes things and for his glory, isn't it? For his purpose. So Paul declares you're free from this requirement, guys. You don't have to wear any hat at all. So just come as you are. Now, if you want to wear a hat, you can. Now, according to verse 5 and 6, there are those who say women should never share prophecy or prayer in the assembly. But guess what? Paul would disagree, and I would too. So Paul states, a woman can pray and prophesy anytime she wants in the assembly. He encourages them to do so. But then he continues and says, but you know what? Really, she should have a head covering on. Why? Well, gang, it's all about the culture Paul lived in at the time. In fact, an understanding of the culture is helpful here. Very helpful. Because in Corinthians culture, women wore veils in to differ their likeness themselves from the prostitutes whose heads were shaved as a sign of their service to the Aphrodite temple. So you get it, right? It's like it was a cultural thing. And so a woman who exercised her liberty in Christ by praying or prophesying with her head uncovered, then at that point in time in that culture, caused confusion in the congregation. A lack of order, and the dishonor of her husband. And that's the deal. Now, how do we relate that to nowadays, to our day today, in our culture? The liberty of a woman in and of the church could revolve around dress. Girls, it's your liberty to dress the way you want to dress. However, how they dress would many times probably cause your husband embarrassment. And you walk in a miniskirt, those real high stilettos, low cut, it's like your husband's going, dishonors him, dishonors the church. And so you kind of starting to catch this, right? That's what they're saying. You see, church, it was a cultural thing. For example, today, when I notice a sister in the Lord with a shaved head, I know it's usually a medical issue, not a moral issue, in which brings compassion and concern, which initiates intense prayer on my part, not as a moral issue in Paul's day. And so, this stuff was basically a cultural thing. But then I know some people that come in church will wear a covering, you ladies. And it's okay. that's kind of cool. I like those kind of. I've tried to get my wife to wear those veils, you know, with my husband rules, but she won't. I don't get it. Those Italians, you know how they are. Anyway, so you guys catch them. It's no big deal. Wear them, don't wear them. Hey, it's no big deal. In our culture, it's how you dress. It talks about morality. Nonetheless, verse 7 tells us, ladies, check this out. I love verse 7. I love this. It says, and guys, I want you to hear this, okay? It says that the woman is the glory of the man, there in verse 7. Or in the original text, the Greek says literally, the outshining and reflection of their husband. The outshining and reflection of their husband. That's their original language. And so husbands, check this out. If you think your wife is out to lunch or off the wall, if you're disappointed in her, tired of her, down on her, or mad at her, guess what, guys? She's simply reflecting you. You can hear a pin drop. But it's the truth. I tell my dad, he gets grumpy sometimes. He's 86, 88, I don't know, old. And he's got a lot of problems medically, and he gets really grumpy, you know? And I tell him the same thing. Dad, do you want to, I mean, what's up? Don't be grumpy, guys. Gotta just, you know, if you, happy wife, happy life. You've heard that, right? Amen. It's not in the Bible, but hey, you know, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. But here's what I'm saying. Men, your wife is a reflection of how you treat her, how she is. It says right here, I believe the word of God. You treat her bad, she's mean. You treat her good, she's wonderful. And so if I ever run into a sweet sister here and she's like mean and ugly, I'm calling you, not her. Enough said about that, except for a life lesson. Says, one, wives are a reflection of their husbands, period. That's the bottom line. Okay? Bottom line. Verse 8 and 9 inspires me to encourage you wives with dear married sisters. It's a life lesson, too. It says this, seeing yourself not as your husband's competitor, but as his completer, is where you will find your greatest fulfillment. Because we men are desperately needed to be completed. You know what? I have a video, a short video, that might help us out to understand this.
You complete me.
Wow, wasn't that cool? Hey, he's got it down. She was speechless. Did you see it? He was like, you guys probably seen that movie before. And of course, she says, then what? You got me when you said hello or something. But that's it. My wife completes me, man. She's so tired of filling those holes, those empty holes. She does, though. Takes care of me, man. I can't imagine. I still grump about it, but it's just awesome. Well, verse 11 tells us in the Corinthian culture, covering one's head spoke of modesty. Of course, it's more today about covering our bodies, ladies, than our heads. In addition, Paul says, it is for the sake of the angels that women were covered their heads. Now, why? Why would that be? I always asked that before I really became a little bit of a theologian and studied the word. Because angels were hypersensitive about things being done in order. Now, why would they be hypersensitive about things being done in order? Well, I would too if I was an angel. You know why? Because this. They saw one third of their company cast out of heaven after one of them said, I want to do my own thing. Right? Of course, we know that was Lucifer. I want to be like God. Well, that wasn't in order. And then, not to mention, then after that, they witnessed mankind's order all messed up, get kicked out of the garden. And so now they're kind of hypersensitive about, you know, things being done in order. Therefore, they're covering on the head of a woman who is praying and prophesying in the congregation in those days. Today would be clothing. It's a sign that the angels, that she is not out of order. Not out of order. And that's the biggest thing. She does so under the authority of her husband. So that's the whole concern here with the covering issue. It's order in the church. It's a cultural thing. Back in those days here, a woman gets up and she starts to pray and she looks like she just came in from the beach. Kind of weird. Out of order. Out of order. And so you catch the two differences. Then it was cultural for the whole head covering thing here. And then you can also, if you research this a bit, you can see that a covering is a man, it could be the man. A covering, if you don't have, a husband, then it could be, a godly boyfriend, or it could be the leaders in the church, whatever. But basically, this is what Paul is talking about. In other words, Paul says this, from the side of a man, woman was made. From the woman, however, man is born. And so again, both are very vital to God's body. 13 through 15, Paul says, again, this verse is cultural and even demographic and somewhat generational in verse 13 through 15. In other words, all I'm going to say about this is this. If a guy combs his hair by the by the minute, like that dude did on the Doobie Brothers. On the other hand, if a woman, I didn't finish that, did I? If he combs his hair by the minute, it's not necessarily a sin. It's just dumb. On the other hand, if a woman has long hair, it's a sign to her. She can comb it all she wants. And people's like, yeah, not fucking hair. That's the thing that they do. Women do that. And by the way, do you know women can grow hair a lot faster than men? I don't know if you knew that, but they can. And so, that's all that means. Now, verse 16 is where the rubber meets the road. In other words, Paul is saying this in verse 16. If this discussion concerning head covering causes problems and heartburn and divisions, it's not worth becoming legalistic about it. But Calvary Chapels, did you know if Calvary Chapels took this verse and completely, if Chuck took the verse and said, no, these hippies, the long hair, they get a job, cut their hair. Did you know he just took this and said, that's a minor. And he went down and he witnessed and he loved the hippies and, wow. How many people got saved? I know I probably wouldn't be here. How many more people in this congregation wouldn't? Because back then, we had hair. Yeah. Some of you got no hair. But back in those days, you had hair. I bet you anything, you got a picture of when you had hair, right? And you hold on to that picture. Picture, my hair. That kind of thing. And so, it's just a minor. It just is. Life lesson 3 tells us this, gang. The key to good theology is to note how many times a particular subject is dealt with in the scripture. Very wise to do that. Very wise to do that. As opposed to subjects like the finished work of the cross, the importance of love for one another, this is the only time that this subject of head covering is seen in all the scripture, and so should be given proportionally in our lives. Proportionate attention. In the Old Testament, long hair. Of course, they didn't have very sharp scissors back then either, did they? And so we need to understand that. And so let's major on the majors, minor on the minor. Let's not get caught up in all this and make it a doctrine and fighting and everything else. Besides, I want to tell you something, okay? I'm a personal. I want to take this opportunity to congratulate every lady in this room, especially the leaders. You guys are it's a privilege to be your pastor. It is so easy to work with you gals. And you know what, guys? I hate to beat the drum, but But they outwork us 10 to 1. Sorry. It's got to be truthful. It's like, who's going to do this ministry? Well, let me see the women. Yeah, but it's a men's ministry, Pastor. Oh, okay. I forgot. All right. Because they're so good. You're so good. You're so giving. I know that, you know, some of you are domestic housewives or you're retired, and some of us guys. But you know what? Some of us guys are retired. And I see the ladies doing much more service than guys. And so I'm not beating up on you guys, okay? Because you won't come to the Christmas party this week. But what I'm saying is, awesome job, ladies. Awesome job. You guys really carry your load. And you know, when you come to me, ladies, some ladies in the leadership, and you ask questions, they're not weird questions. They're biblical questions. They're pretty good stuff. It causes me, gives me time to think and pause to check those questions out. And they're not like threatening questions. You're doing it because you love me and you just want to know. And I love that. Come up with ideas I think are wonderful. Tremendous. You know, where guys, you know, I got a local board. We're going to introduce those guys after the first year. We did the whole bylaw thing and signed and sealed and delivered and all that. Anyway, you know, it's like sometimes I ask those guys, they're like, It's kind of all depends on how much they work that day and one thing or another. But you ladies, man, you're clicking. You get all kinds of ideas flowing. And you really don't care if I use them or not. You're just putting them out there. Man, it's a great time. And I should take this information and value it myself. But it's great just to sit and listen to your wives produce all these things. Ask her sometime, honey, what do you think about the landscaping in our yard? And then for the next 16 hours, sit there and listen. She'll love it. And she'll come out with all these great ideas. And that's the way you ladies are at this church. I just love it. And you don't really care if I take any of them. You love the ministry. You love me. You love the church here. And you're trying to just give what God has given you. And those ideas, and most of the time, they're great ideas. Tremendous ideas. And so, know that. And so, this whole head covering thing, give it proportionately what it deserves. Now, in verse 17, which we will not go there because I honor your time. I honor your time. I've got like 5 more pages of notes, and it's all about communion. But you know what we're going to do right now? We're going to stop, and we're going to do communion next week. Okay? And guess what we're going to do? We're going to do communion next week. And we're going to do communion now. Okay. Oh, well, what? I don't get that. That's wrong. No, it's not wrong. I got a thing here that I say, nowadays, communion, it's just weird the way churches take it and people do. Nowadays, isn't it? Some people never, once a year, once every couple months, communion. I know Calvary's that take communion every week. I know Calvary's that have communion ready to go, bigger Calvary's, 24/7. There's a Calvary in Las Vegas because they work around the clock that has communion and a pastor, a third shift pastor, big time. I'd like to be a third shift pastor. Anyway, they do a church service and third shift and they have communion. I think Williamsburg, Mike was telling me, they have communion for anyone throughout the week or maybe after the service. So it's important. Communion is important. And many times we just treat it like it's mundane. Or though, it's really sad. I'm so sad. It's not sad. Celebration. And I'll talk about this next week, but, you know, Jesus loved to eat. I can tell you all, I'm going to give you all kinds of stuff about him eating. And here's the thing. It never says one time he ate alone. It said he prayed alone, but he never ate alone. He said he loved eating with others. Hanging out with others. Eating, and he loved to eat. I researched this stuff. We'll talk more about next week. And so look, it's a celebration. celebration communion. And so as we take it today, we're going to take it next week too. We're going to take it the week after. We're going to take it right up to Christmas. Because I think it's a proper thing to do. Amen?
That concludes our study for today. Please join us next time as Pastor Ben continues to teach us verse by verse through the whole Word of God and shows us how God's Word applies to our lives today. For more information about our Cutting Edge Radio Ministry or Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills, you can call us at 910-684-5296 or write to us at P.O. Box 102, Aberdeen, North Carolina, 28315. You can also visit us online at calvarychapelsandhills.com. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you as you seek to know Him more.